Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 68 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, and I am here, as always, with Megan Francis. And today we're talking about birthdays. Megan, it occurred to me that we have mentioned our kids' birthdays and had little segments or commentary, but we've never devoted an entire episode to kids' birthday parties. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And Sarah, I have to admit that when you said that to me, I actually doubted you for a minute and was like, nope, not true. I thought certainly there's an episode Sarah's forgotten about, because I swear I thought we did, but I guess not.
Well,
it's something you and I have talked about a lot, but just not done
a whole
show.
And if you're a devoted listener, you will probably
Which I hope you all are.
You might hear a little bit of repeat, because we've done throughout talking about other things. I know we answered a listener question once about birthdays. We've done a segment. Our very first episode included my very strong feelings about goodie bags. So we have talked around it, but we're actually going to break this up into two parts. So today we're going to be talking about our own kids and their birthdays, which they happen to have every year, as it happens.
It just kind of works out that way.
The way it works. We're going to talk about traditions and parties, if you do parties, and gifts, and also how celebrations at school. I know a lot of our listeners have kids starting preschool, and birthdays kind of become a thing that kids get to celebrate at school. And then next week, we're going to talk about when it's other kids' birthdays. So getting invited to parties, RSVPing, buying gifts for other people's kids, and all the drama that goes along with that. So two episodes this week is all about our own kids, and I'm excited to kick it off. So Megan, I thought we'd start with talking about, why don't you start by telling us about your fall? You're entering the season of birthdays in your
house.
Have a lot of children.
Yes.
And a lot of them have fall birthdays. But then from there, let's talk kind of about how little simple traditions in our families, apart from the parties, apart from the big gifts, things that have just kind of evolved as a way to make birthdays special for our kids. That's kind of where I'm headed. But why don't you tell us about your fall birthday extravaganzas?
So, as we're recording this, it is like the third week of September, and Isaac's birthday is a Saturday. So he kicks off our first fall birthday. Then just over a month later, it's William's birthday. Then Jacob's birthday is like 2.5, 3 weeks later after that. And then Owen's is in early December. So it goes September, October, November, December. I have a birthday.
And your husband, John.
And John also has a birthday. His birthday is a few days before Owen's. And I hate to admit that his birthday often gets lost in the shuffle, but it does.
It does.
So, so it's busy around here. We are moving out of the phase where all of the kids always wanted to have slumber parties and sleepovers and big ordeals like that. I mean, the older kids don't. They kind of do their own thing. You know, they're going to be 17 and 19 this year. It's just very different.
Right.
But for a while, it was pretty crazy. And I will say, for a while, we were fortunate enough that all of our kids always somehow managed to have friends that were siblings. They would have like sibling groups.
That's nice.
And so their parties were really simple, because you would call like two families.
Yeah.
And you'd have a party, you know, and for both kids, we'd knock them out. We'd like let them do joint parties. And that's changing somewhat as well. So this is all shifting for me. It's like all, you know, it's kind of like when kids get older, it's harder to make Christmas special, kind of same thing for a birthday.
Yeah.
But the one things that, you know, the one, and I guess we're going to talk about traditions later, right? When am I allowed to talk about that?
Yeah. You are allowed.
Green light. It's changed. You know, I was just going to say, I think that it's just changing, and it's changing slowly enough that I almost don't even notice it changing. Like, I remember I used to always have a balloon tied to the birthday kid's chair.
I love that.
And I don't think I did that last year, just because I think I kind of feel like the kids kind of outgrew balloons, and they would just float around and become that obnoxious thing that, you know, just hovered around forever. And
Mylar balloons.
Yes. We do have a banner that we break out for every single birthday, and it's the same banner. And we finally had to replace it because it was falling apart. But it looks just like the old banner. So that's another thing. Every kid gets the same banner. It's just kind of fun. Like, our birthdays are very predictable and comforting in that way, that they're all very similar.
I think those little tiny things are things that if you have, like, say, a baby and a toddler and haven't started getting into this yet, that moms can actually, like, start to think ahead, because we also have a banner. And I always want to get a cuter one, like something more Pinteresty, Etsy-like, and it's like a drugstore
Like the cardboard one?
The cardboard letters that kind of string out. And ours is the same. And then we also had this Disney snow globe. Brian's side of the family collects snow globes. So we have a few random snow globes. But it was actually a really nice, heavy, substantial, all the Mickey Mouse characters. And it was like you turned it upside down and it was glitter and it was birthday themed. And you wound it up on the bottom and, you know, it had little music box music playing happy birthday. And that didn't start out as like I'm going to make a big tradition, as traditions often don't. But the kids would only get it out on a birthday because it was more, you know, delicate and birthday themed. And so just the banner, the cardboard banner and the silly little Mickey Mouse snow globe just only come out. And, you know, talking about the way you store this stuff or organize that, we have a little small bin of kind of birthday stuff, just like you would for another holiday. So I think we're kind of saying the same thing, that just those little, a balloon on a chair or, and as your kids get older, you can save that stuff and then it becomes the tradition that you didn't, you know, maybe didn't set out to plan it that way.
Didn't we have a whole episode about how traditions aren't traditions until they are things that just happen?
Yes, well, that's like one of my favorite episodes I've ever written about the holidays.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The post, it was a blog post. Like you don't have to try so hard to make it a tradition, because if it's something that is fun and feels good and is simple enough to do it every year, it just becomes one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because the next year you're like, well, that was fun. Let's do that again.
And that didn't kill me. That's the other thing.
I don't have post-traumatic stress around that particular.
Exactly.
I love the balloon. I remember like as even 1 and 2 year olds, balloons are such a, you know, big ticket item.
Yes.
And Mylar ones from the grocery store that they always see and never get to get. So that is like, you know, they're maybe $6, which is kind of expensive for a balloon. But at the same time, if it's like the most exciting thing in your 2 year old's day.
Exactly.
I like that tradition. That
and I'll still do a balloon for Clara this year. She's the one who has a spring birthday. And so I hate to say that, I have to admit this, but she's gotten a little bit of a better deal with birthdays because there's just one.
Yep.
And it's in March. It's a good time of year for me. Like, there's not a whole lot going on.
Right.
So it's really easy to kind of think about it and plan. Like, she's had real themed birthday parties. I don't really remember doing much of that with the boys because it was just bam, 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 bam. You know, I had to, like, get it all done. So, you know, that's okay. Like, you get what you get. They also got – probably had more fun parties because all their parties were just, like, these huge piles of boys. And so every kid – you know, I think sometimes we try too hard to make everything super fair and even too. And
right.
It doesn't always work out that way.
So true. And the time of year, I made a note of that too, that the time of year your kids are born is not, it's not something you have to overcompensate for or fight against. It just is. If your kid has a birthday near a holiday, that's going to look different than the kid who has a summer birthday, which is a whole different, you know, so it's not like, we don't need to apologize for these things. It's just influences the way the birthdays go.
Your kids still got born. That's what I tell them sometimes. Hey, they still got born. Here you are.
There's a balloon.
Here's a balloon. Eat your cake. I made it. Can't you tell?
Yeah. We have a couple other little like low-key traditions. And one that started in my family is we always tell a birth story, an age-appropriate birth story. It might not be actual labor and delivery birth story. But we talk about over whether it's dinner or breakfast or whatever, cake. We always take time, even with the little kids who may or may not be interested, we take time to talk about the lead up to when they were born, what they were like, you know, what it was like in the hospital or when we got home. And we do that with my family, with grown people, even, you know, like my parents whose parents aren't all alive. Like we just, the stories have sort of like become collective knowledge. And I think that's kind of fun. I think as a mom, you get really reflective on your kids' births, you know, because these are holidays for us too, or they are anniversaries of giving birth. So I think that's kind of a nice, and kids often enjoy hearing those stories.
You know, I didn't really realize, but I think we do something similar. We will always that's the day I always want to look up pictures. I think I've actually sent you pictures of my kids on their birthdays several times, because I'll be like, oh, and then grab a quick picture of a picture and send it off to Sarah. But we'll often end up at the dinner table talking about something related to, you know, the time that they were born, or, you know, their dimples or how big they were, the things that kids really love to hear about, I think. And I remember my mom telling me, like, little things. I remember being a kid and my mom telling me that when I was born, the first thing the nurse said before it's a girl is, oh, this is how she found out. Oh, she has dimples. And so that was something like, I remember my mom telling me that. I'll never forget that. It was something she just kind of said in passing. Right. But it made a big impact on me. Like, oh, my mom remembers what this random nurse said about me all those years ago. So
Your kids will like that, even little kids. And then it just becomes those stories that we tell. So Totally agree. Yeah.
And that's also, and like you said, because you're already thinking about it, again, it's easy. It's not something you really have to plan or, you know, go out of your way to do. You're already thinking about your kids and what they look like when they're born. So it's not that big of a step to then pull out a picture and show them and talk about it.
Right. And when you tell the same stories every year, they, you know, siblings internalize it and it just becomes, you know, it becomes a cool conversation to have. The only other thing I had on little simple traditions is ask your kids what would make their birthday feel special. I think sometimes we, you know, we see stuff online like, oh, now I'm going to make a special breakfast. I'm going to make their favorite breakfast, or I'm going to make their favorite dinner, or I'm going to surprise them with balloons after school. And first of all, you don't have to do all the things every year for every kid.
You also don't have to take a picture of your kid holding a sign that says how old they are and put it on Pinterest.
Right.
I'm just going to say that you don't have to do that.
You do not have to do
that. If you want to do that, good. But don't let that be something that stresses you out.
Exactly. And there's a lot of really cute ideas out there. Thank you, Internet. But also you can ask your child, including a very young child, what would make your birthday special this week? I'm planning dinners. Is there something that would be – sometimes they just say, I want, like, potato chips on the side. Like, they don't have the same – very small things make children up to the age of 7 or 8 pretty happy, you know? So a trip after school to get frozen yogurt, and then maybe they don't – Reed actually doesn't like cake because he doesn't like frosting. So sometimes – so we started another tradition that just evolved was donuts for him because he loves donuts, and that's not a normal thing for him, for us. So I think it was a couple years where his birthday fell on a weekend. You know, it'll be like a Saturday, and then the next year it's a Sunday. And just within that few years, it was like, well, now we get donuts on Reed's birthday. So ask your kid, like, you know, what would make your birthday special? And then don't – feel like you have to do all the other things.
Absolutely.
So, yes, it has been said. All right. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned your kind of parties. I think our listeners who know us know that both of us are low-key party people, and we have touched on this in other episodes.
Yeah.
I've lived in nice weather areas, and even in Arizona, I didn't have any true summer birthdays. Reed is June 1st, which gets a little borderline, but you go to the splash pad or something. So I'm a big fan of meet at a park. And here's some grocery store cupcakes and a bag of chips. I mean, I think that worked for us for a really long time. I think it's fun to do themes and to host if that's what makes you happy. But just know that that is
optional.
About mom.
Exactly.
You know, like, or that there's little ways, you know, we hear theme. And even then, don't you think kids catch on to themes because they've been to parties that are themed? I know a couple of years ago, my kids are like, "Where our parties?" They shared that year. And they're like, "Our party's Harry Potter themed." I said, "No, it's not."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, it is." And I'm like, "God," they were turning 5 and 7 and they had gotten really into Harry Potter. But I mean, 5-year-olds really don't know Harry Potter. And even 7-year-olds are just getting into it. And I was like, "Guys, your friends don't even know what this is." And they were like, "No, it's Harry Potter themed." So I got some.
Hey, they decided.
Yeah. I got some napkins and I think like one other thing and they were happy.
Oh, well, that's a really good point. Yeah. The theme can be like the plates you buy.
Exactly.
That's the theme. Get out an eyeliner and like put a scar on a kid's forehead.
Yeah.
Voila, Harry Potter. You know, it's
we've been totally brainwashed as to the extent that you can have a themed party. And again, if you love to do it, then I should link to our friend Sarah Stewart Holland because she has a great post about why she does it and why she loves to do it, which is a totally different thing. And I'll link to that.
Yeah. A lot of times it's a creative outlet.
Yeah.
For mom, who's like really good at party planning. And if I had those skills, yahoo, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, that's my thoughts on parties. Have you guys had, one thing I wanted to talk about was when you have a bunch of kids or add more kids, I know big families get creative with, having ways so that not every kid gets a big party every year. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we, for a while, were doing, they were allowed to have a big sleepover every other year. And then on the alternate year, they could just have like a friend or two over individually instead of having like the big two kids together party.
Right.
Or they could go to the movies with their friends.
Fun.
And we still kind of do that. I mean, I just – the era of the mass sleepover in our house is kind of ending. They just don't – they don't hang out. Like William's got one best buddy that he hangs out with almost all the time. And then like a couple other good friends who are really don't come here that often.
Right.
Owen's got, you know, his cousin that he still hangs out with and a couple other friends. So he still does like the kind of like group sleepover. But again, I'm talking 3 kids, not 8.
Right.
So it is changing. And I'm because it's changing and because it's not as taxing on me anymore, I'm fine with still just continuing to do it every year if they want to. But, you know, I have to also say, for the first time in the last couple of years, we have done the thing where we rent out a spot and go and have a party there. We've done it a few times. We did it like at a laser tag place. And I think this year for Clara, we might do it at the gymnastics place. Simply because as they're getting older, I sometimes would rather not have them all in my house.
Yeah.
They take up a lot of space and they're loud.
And somebody else is doing the cleanup.
Exactly. Yeah. It turns out to be a pretty good deal sometimes to just go someplace and let the kids go crazy and jump around and then leave at the end.
Well, I think you've entered an era where it's assumed that it's drop-off. I mean, that's another, like when kids need less supervision, I find some of those parties are really torturous to go to as a parent when you're expected to stay.
And then when you also don't have to entertain the other parents anymore, like nothing more awkward than sitting around for 2 hours.
Very awkward because there's a bunch of adults standing around. So I agree. Like if it's an age where the kids are able not to need that supervision and can be dropped off, and then as the host, you don't have the extra adults to deal with. You're not worried about the kids so much. So I can totally see that being a great option.
I think the other thing that's different now with the older ones, the other thing that I always do is I always make a cake and it's always terrible. But I don't make it from scratch because I think that mixed cakes out of a box are great. So
I do.
I make cakes out of a box. It's almost always chocolate frosting on chocolate cake, but sometimes if they ask for yellow or white or whatever, I'll make that instead. And then and I frost it terribly, and it's almost like a joke. I'll just throw a bunch of candy and stuff on it at the end. Or like I buy a little accoutrement sometimes, like when I made Clara a cake one time and I just put like this little beach scene on it. So like
that was
little
a good
toy
one, though.
That actually was a great cake.
About that. We should show a picture.
I made a beach cake. It was great and it was very easy. But like sometimes I'll just cover the cake with a bunch of just random little toys and stuff. It really can, like, if you always crack the top of your cake or always have that spot where you didn't wait long enough for the cake to cool and then you tried to frost it and it like tore a chunk. You can creative use of candy and or other like little objects can.
Small Legos.
Yes, can cover that. Although Clara was mad that I put shells on that cake. She thought that was really gross. I was like, but I put them through the sanitary, you know, cycle on the dishwasher. She's like, why would you have done that, Mom? So anyway, I don't know. I had a point. It's gone. But the point is that was one little thing is that now I always do is the cakes, and I still do that for every kid. But now it's like, you know, Jacob and Isaac, they want to eat the cake with us and then they want to go do stuff with their friends. That's how they want to spend their birthday. And that's okay. I remember when that's how I wanted to spend my birthday. So, you know, even that concept of how that looks has changed.
Right.
And I think William's almost there too. Like, you know, we'll do after school, we'll do a cake kind of early probably because then that frees up his evening.
Right.
To do what he really wants to do, which may not be hang out with mom and dad and cousins and stuff. So,
well, I think again, it brings up the point of asking your kid or feeling out your kid on what would make, I mean, it's their birthday and kids change and grow over the years. I want to say something about one more thing about the pressure to have big organized parties as your kids start preschool and start going to these parties. And next week we're going to talk about when you're attending and getting invited to all these big parties. Right. But I think sometimes we get sucked into thinking that our kids, because they now are exposed to this and, oh, so-and-so's party is at the bouncy house place. And then I got to go to this party. So this is the party I want. I think there's ways to tell your child, because you are the adult in charge, in our family, here's how we do birthday parties. You know, every other year you get to invite friends or whatever you've decided is the rule. Or here's why we're not going to do one at the bouncy house place. Again, I think sometimes we just feel pressured that everyone's doing it. And when your kids are really young is not a bad time to start saying, well, here's how our family does birthdays. And they really are fine with it. I think a lot of times they like to go to those parties more than they really care about having them. And then another thing I've done is tried to bribe my children into doing a family day somewhere really fun that we don't normally get to go instead of a party. We are close to Disneyland, so we can, if we get a decent one day ticket, it's not, you know, it's not as expensive as if you had to travel and stay overnight to go to Disneyland. So I have tried that. The first year we lived here, they actually insisted on a joint party and we did it at the park. But Reed did take me up on it, and we did Disney instead of a party this year. So if there's something that they really want to do, some kind of amusement park, a really special day, and you really don't want to host a party, I highly recommend offering
Well,
a
and we We have a place about an hour from here that the kids love. It's one of those, I think it's called Sky Zone. It's like one of those jumping trampoline parks that you could So, but it's expensive, you know, and it's far away. I don't want to be responsible for ship, like taking a whole truckload of kids to an hour and 15 minutes away place and then have to pay $20 a kid plus the cake and all that. So I think I'm going to kind of float it past the boys this year. If maybe that'll just be that. And maybe we'll meet their cousin Quinn there and, you know, bring their other cousin. You've got a little party. I mean, it's a nice thing about us having so many cousins close in age. It's kind of like a built-in party, but then it's also just like a relaxed family day. And that sounds nice. Like, it's a good compromise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Or I know getting to, like, Allegra's age, telling them they can bring one friend somewhere. And it could be somewhere, you know, we don't have the cousins, but we might do a one friend thing.
Yeah.
And then it could be somewhere. The kids start to appreciate what a more bigger ticket day looks like. You can kind of see the calculations going like, okay, I could have a big party with cheap party favors, or I can go to Disneyland. You know, they start to the priorities.
Also, yeah. I think sometimes too, like you said, they appreciate going to those parties, like the big parties for other kids. But I have to say, a few years ago, Clara had, I would say, maybe the only legit like birthday party I've ever thrown for a kid where it had a theme. Like, it was all the stuff. Like, it had the theme, it had the cake, and she also got to pick whoever she wanted out of her classroom. I think I let her like pick up to, I don't know, like 10 kids or something.
Yeah.
And it actually caused her a lot of stress.
Yes.
She liked it, but I think at the end of the day, she would have been happy just to have like her best friend or two there, or do something with them that was special, rather than have this big party where then she had to kind of, there was some, a little bit of infighting, and like she had to negotiate that a little bit. And there was a lot of stress about her feeling bad about not inviting everyone in the class, and how are we going to get the invitations to the girls who were coming?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then boys, she also wanted boys to come, but that would have been like double the size. And I was like, you're going to have to make a choice. I mean, it could be a small group of girls and a small group of boys, but it just ended up being a lot of pressure for her even.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that kid depends on the kid.
Yeah,
well.
No, that's a really, really good point. And I would say it's not a bad idea when your kids are at those ages where it's harder to decide and it's a little overwhelming. Just start the conversation early and don't be afraid to set boundaries, because what little kids will do is just declare, I'm having my birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. And you're like, no, you're not.
No, you're
but
not.
It's wish fulfillment, right? I mean, it's fantasizing. And then you can kind of like have the conversation and work it back, right sides it, I think. So
in that light, I have to share this. This is really cute. Yeah. My niece Ruby, who is about a year and a half older than Clara, she's been sending me random texts. She doesn't have her own phone, but I think they have like an extra phone in the house that the kids can use every now and then. And so sometimes when Jen is texting me, they must be sitting down together texting, because then Ruby will start texting me. And she sent me this picture on like a legal pad, and it says Ruby's list to do for birthday.
Oh.
So here are the things that she's got listed. Shed Aquarium. Slumber Party, Medieval Times, Sky Zone, Mall, Movie, Zoo, Power and Motion. That's our gymnastics place.
Okay.
Barn. I'm not sure what barn's all about. And sleep and park, come back for sleepover. So she asked me, ask Clara to pick two.
Oh.
Well, what she recently said is, ask Clara which is her two favorite ones for my birthday, taco emoji, poop emoji. So I sent her back a Bitmoji with me holding a list saying, will do, with like a little check mark.
Yes.
And then she wrote me back like a day later. She's like, can you text me Clara's answer? And I was like, well, Clara says Aquarium or Sky Zone. I mean, obviously, that's what she's going to pick. Then like a day later, she texts me back and she's like, well, we're just doing a slumber party with a face mask and watch a movie. So obviously, Jenna, I haven't talked to Jenna about this, but obviously Jenna let her fantasize a bit.
Yeah.
And then reined it back in, and now she's doing probably exactly what Jenna wanted her to do in the first place, which is have a slumber party and maybe make it fun like a spa. I mean, but it's just kind of like she got to think about what that would be like and even get Claire involved, and then in the end, she's probably going to be totally thrilled with what she actually gets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I can actually, I'll share that picture with you, and you can put it on the show notes, because it's just
too adorable. That is really cute. And now we're really off topic, but Allegra has also been really interested in texting lately. She has no device of her own. She uses an iPad for games, but we don't have any ability to communicate with anyone on it. And we are playing fantasy football as a family. Like, our extended family has a football league. and Allegra has her own team. Like we're really into football. We've all played fantasy football. So through the through the Yahoo Fantasy app, you can message just the players in the league, which is a very safe way to, because it's literally
only the people.
Yeah, it's her aunts, uncles, and grandparents. And even then, I've like been trying to give her a little bit of like digital citizenship. Like you can't just send a poop emoji unannounced to like your, you know, cousin's husband that you've met once. Like,
right.
You
know? Exactly.
So anyways, that's all, except the same, just like Ruby, Allegra is kind of practicing texting and starting to like have these little, and lots of emojis, so many it's emojis. Cute. It's very cute and a very sort of safe place to do it. So I love that Ruby gets to text you. Very fun. Okay. Well, I was going to kind of go into buying gifts for our kids, or what happens when the gift lists get crazy, how you handle just simple gifts for giving your own, again, not buying for other people's kids. We're going to go there next week, but what we get our birthday kids, or how we shop, or how we handle that. Do you have any initial thoughts?
Our birthday presents have always been few and low-key low-key. Often there's a clothing item the kid needs anyway.
Okay.
It seems like something like that always pops up in the fall. Like that's when you realize their shoes are all ripped up, or like they really need, you know, something like a coat. I mean, something like that. It's so it's often just kind of a convenient time to do that.
Right.
And
then
we'll usually get something like a book and then some kind of fun something. But it's generally speaking, we keep birthday gifts. I think that started out of necessity just because we had so many birthdays one after the other.
Yeah.
We just didn't want to end in right before Christmas. You know, it's like, this is not, and then it just worked out. And I have to say as well, like the kids' expectations were set so early that that's what a birthday looks like in our house, that that it's never been a problem. They've never been like, I didn't get much, you know, it's not. Yeah. And they'll usually, you know, they usually get something from a friend, like even if they only have two or three friends, like some, and now a lot of the kids are into giving cash, but they'll get a little money and some Xbox points, or like, you know, a little toy or something, and then they're happy. So that's kind of how it looks in our house.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you said also, because you do have all the cousins, and my kids don't, but I know a lot of families do, that you guys stopped giving presents to your nieces and nephews and vice versa, right?
On birthdays. We have a moratorium on that. I will say I may have to revisit that with Jenna, because now it's becoming awkward for the older kids who go to parties where everyone else is giving them a present. And it's kind of like my kids then feel bad.
Friend party? Okay.
To a friend party. So I think I may talk with Jenna about that, about adjusting that, because I don't want the kid, I don't want Phil Jack to come over and feel bad because he doesn't have a gift for Owen on Owen's birthday, like friend party. That's, you know, that wasn't the intent. The intent of it was, I don't want to show up at the family party where there's already a pile of gifts from all these other relatives with my own gift. It just feels excessive, and then it becomes like an obligation. And so we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to burden each other with that. So, but, you know, everything, I guess it's so funny. I've said so many times, like, I might have to revisit that, or I'm rethinking that. And it's just like Christmas or other holidays. This stuff changes. Like, you don't have to get locked in. And not every tradition has to last forever.
No.
Sometimes they serve the purpose for a while, and then they stop serving that purpose. And then you find something else to do, or you adjust.
Exactly. When does your kid typically have their cake and open their presents? Is that a set thing, or is it just float around based on when the birthday
is? We either do it right after school, or we do it in the evening. And we kind of base it depending on whether we're going to have, like, oftentimes Jenna's family will come over and have cake and ice cream with us. If we're going to do that, usually do it a little bit later, because then it's easier for those, you know, she's working, and easier for everyone to get over. But sometimes we have stuff going on in the evening and the kids just want their cake. And I used to be real weird about, like, you have to have the pizza first, and then, you know, you have to. Yeah. And I was like, wait, why do I? No, we could just have cake right away, and then we could eat dinner later. It's not.
Well, I'm so glad really you brought that up, because I forgot another one of our traditions is just flip-flopping the order. And our kids open presents. So let's say we were having family over, like my parents or something, for the family birthday. We would open gifts before dinner, in that lull between, like, dinner's maybe cooking or we're having a glass of wine, like happy hour time, let the kid open their presents, then do dinner, and then have cake and sing after. The presents used to be like this big, like, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And then you had 2 and 3 year olds, like, you know, might even just be 4 or 5 presents, the family ones. Like, we're not talking about a big party. But then I was like, why are we making them wait to open their presents? It's their birthday.
Right. And no, I know. And yes.
We're just sitting around. So I forgot. That's another thing we've done, is presents are whatever the celebration looks like, presents happen almost first. And then they can play with this stuff. And then, you know, then cake might be after dinner or whatever. But
Well, I guess the lesson there is, again, not to get too hung up on things having to happen. It's a birthday. So right. It's a special day. It doesn't need to follow anybody else's timeline. It doesn't have to look like a regular dinner night where you'd eat and then wait, digest a little bit, and then have dessert. I mean, it can really look however you and or the birthday kid want it to look. So, yeah, we move things around. Sometimes we'll do gifts right away. And also, when you do gifts right away, it keeps the kids occupied for a bit. Yeah. And it gives them, you know, so the adults can socialize a little bit if they're adults and maybe order the pizza or whatever's coming next if you're making a dinner or whatever. It just kind of gives you a little buffer. And that's the thing everyone wants to do anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
No, agreed. I have a couple more thoughts on gifts geared toward littler kids. One thing is that we've started to let our kids buy gifts for each other with a very small budget. I think I talked about this in a Christmas episode, but I was starting to feel like my kids didn't really have any concept of giving because we'll talk about it next week with the friend birthdays, but they weren't really connected to the process of picking something out for a family member because I was doing all of that. Or a lot, we have very generous grandparents. So a lot of times our family barely does anything because the grandparents and the aunt and uncles do. So we have made a point the last few birthdays, even with, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds of letting them pick out something for their sibling. And I completely step back and it's usually something terrible. Like often the kids will pick out something they really want because all kids do that. So like Reed will give something Pokemon themed to his sisters for their birthday. And I just let it go because it's just more of the practice. It's just like, I've talked before about going to like a Walgreens instead of a Target where there's a very small.
Yes, that's toy we both aisle. Do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can find a little cheap something.
Yep. And it's more just about the act of doing it. And they really like it. And then maybe getting involved in wrapping or drawing them a picture, just some little thing. I think I was in the weeds for a few years where I didn't have the time to slow down to do that. But now I am trying to make sure that every kid is doing something for the other kid's birthday, like at a max of $10. And at this point, it's still coming out of my pocket. But it's just about like having them get in that habit. Also, with really little kids, if you are like me and have super generous relatives, I would say do not hesitate, number one, to give guidance. I've said this we've talked about this at length in holiday episodes. But if relatives are asking what your kid's into or what they want for their birthday or what they need, tell them, because generous relatives who want to know are generous, and you get to guide them. I think we don't need to be so, whatever is fine. The kid benefits, but also it helps like kind of set some values about what kind of toys you like in your house and all that. And then number two, don't be afraid to set aside if the kid gets too much right away. We've said this too, I think in a previous episode, that if they're inundated with a bunch of new stuff, and they open it and you can tell one thing isn't going to be like the thing they play with right away, just set it aside for a rainy day. It works great with like art supplies, art kits, that kind of stuff.
Do you ever re-gift?
The only time I re-gift is if we get something we already have, I think. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we have once or twice. It's not ever really been an issue, but because we haven't had those big friend parties where kids who don't really know the other kid. I think that's when you end up with a lot of re-gifting materials, when you have like a big classroom party and it's, as a mom, you know what it's like when your kid gets invited to one of those parties. Yeah. And we'll talk about that next week, but like, crap, I don't know this kid at all. Right. And then you ask your kids like, what do you want to get them? And they're never any help. When we've had that kind of situation, that's when we've ended up with things where I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll just put this in a drawer and, you know, hang on to it.
I think the theme of this episode actually is emerging that you as a parent can take an active role in how you shape kid birthdays. You don't have to succumb to peer pressure. You also don't have to succumb to the whims of a 2-year-old. So that you get to shape how this looks and how birthdays can be special in your family.
And really, if you think about it, I mean, what is the point of having a birthday celebration? It's to honor this person for being in your life. It's to be a little bit special. But it's just a day, just like any other day in other ways. And so I feel like sometimes, you know, I think back, like, what would I rather my kid remembered? Like, their birthdays were sort of casually, maybe a bit sloppily thrown together at times, but fun, special enough, and everybody appreciated that kid, that person for being there. Or like this stress-filled nightmare where mom's running around biting everyone's head off because things aren't coming together correctly. And I guess I would always just choose the first if I had to.
Absolutely. Real quick before we wrap this, I think this will be quick, but I know my kids have had very specific ways of celebrating their birthday at school. And we did an episode recently about things not to freak out about when your kids start school. And this reminded me. But I just would encourage parents to ask the teacher or ask the school how they like to celebrate birthdays in the classroom. Number one, classroom birthdays pretty much go away, I would say, by like first grade usually, so, you know, like in terms of sending something in or.
Oh, really? Not in our school.
Really? So do they
do them all the way up through, they do them all the way through elementary school.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's cracking down over here. There's definitely no food
there's
in our elementary
the whole
school.
Sweets thing and food. Like, yeah, that's definitely become more of a focus of not doing that, but I know they definitely do celebrations in class. I mean, we live in a small town. It's kind of old school here. So
no, I love that. Well, yeah. But preschool I think is at the height of where you may or may not send in something to eat. Montessori preschools have usually like a very specific little tradition they have. So I guess my advice, if there is any, is to make sure you connect with the teacher about that, because sometimes you see what's coming home, like maybe a kid sent in a party favor for their classroom celebration. Well, that doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
We're like beating a dead horse here, but that, so just, you know, and then also ask your kid. I know like Allegra was really intimidated by being the center of attention. And I never forget in kindergarten, her teacher kept calling her birthday girl on her birthday. And she was like, it's yours. She didn't want to be called birthday girl. So it's like, know your kid and then touch base with the teacher and don't succumb to peer pressure. I guess that's just my, I don't know. Do you have any other advice on classroom birthdays or?
I think that, you know, one thing I would say, and the one thing I will say is also that when I say they still do birthday parties, like usually what it is you get to send a treat in and then they eat it during what would have been snack time anyway.
Right.
Sometimes like the teacher will say the week of your birthday, that's the week you're the leader, you know, whatever, the snack leader or whatever the leadership, leadership roles exist in your child's first or second grade. Often that child ends up getting that role for that week of their birthday, but that's kind of separate. So one thing you just don't have to overthink it too much, because there's been plenty of times when the night before the kid, you know, the birthday falls on, say, Saturday or Sunday, and I forget that they're going to then celebrate on Friday, and it's Thursday night, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to make anything, and if I make cupcakes now, they won't cool enough before bed to frost them, and then I don't want to do it in the morning. Anyway, long story short, I have often then just emailed the teacher and said, can I just bring them in tomorrow? And usually they'll say, yeah, like 2 o'clock would be perfect or something like that, because they have their days planned out. So it's not – and then I think actually the kids kind of like that mom shows up. If that's something you're able to do with your schedule or your work, you know. My kids have always kind of liked me showing up with their treat. And, I try very hard not to be disruptive. And I just come in, drop it, and leave. It's not like I'm hanging out. But sometimes it's been also like – I run to Dunkin' Donuts and get a box of, what are they called? Munchkins.
Yes.
Because that's like one or two bites.
Yeah.
So I know the kids aren't going to get all jacked up on sugar.
Yeah.
And it's still a special treat and all that. So I guess I just don't really overthink it too much. It's just as long as they end up with some kind of treat in their hand at some point during the day, I'm good.
As long as it's the kid meets the kid's expectation, which again comes back to like finding out which part, like, what do you like about, I always ask my kid what it's like when other kids have birthday celebrations at school, you know, like, oh, so-and-so's birthday. What'd you guys do? What did you like about, you know, because they don't necessarily want or need all of the possibilities. The little munchkins reminded me that a few years ago I got a mini muffin tin and I had never made miniature cupcakes or miniature muffins. And I can't tell you how many times I've used that either for box cake mix or for, we make homemade muffins more often now, like a little bit healthier. And for the same reason, it's such a good size. So for birthday treats, that's a great one. Teachers will appreciate it. Parents will appreciate it. And it's still, it's cute. It still looks like a cupcake or a muffin
or whatever. It's cute. And you can also make a whole classroom's worth.
Yeah. It's 24.
You know, with one box.
Yep.
So
And so I don't know, it was like $10. I'll link to the one I have, but I kind of thought it seemed like a funny baking bakeware to have.
I
use it way more than
we have one and we use it a lot too.
Yeah. So, before we wrap this episode, I kind of wanted to do our usual segment and just update people what's going on in our lives, because we haven't done that in a few weeks. So, I really want to know more about the morning DJ gig. If you really are just listening for the first time, Megan recently took on a job as a morning show co-host at her local radio station. But I want you to tell us what is it like when you're in there? Like, how does the job work? Like, I want to know I want to know.
Well, first of all, I've learned some things about the radio biz in the last 2 weeks, and I am not a DJ. I do not disc jockey. Okay. The music is pre-selected by some other person. I don't know who that is. Okay. And it is my job to be the color mm-hmm. and a personality. So right. I'm like, if you could see my face right now, I'm making all of the silly faces. But So basically, here's what it is. I get up, I get to the station around 6:30, and usually my co-host and I, Johnny, we use Evernote, and we'll have like a list of things we're going to talk about. We usually actually figure that out the day before, but we'll add to it. And then we literally just sit there and wait for our, and there's like a little computer where I can see what's coming up next, and they have a lot of it. They can see the song, and you can see the commercials or whatever.
Okay.
And then you can see like live on studio, and we've got like a running, you know, schedule, and I can kind of look and say, oh, we're going to be talking about this or that. And so we'll be just sitting there. I mean, we just kind of sit there and chat. And then
how long are the segments where you're chatting, like in between? It's been actually a long time since I've even listened to morning radio like this.
Generally speaking, like 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then there'll be like little teasers. So we'll do like, you know, next up after this Taylor Swift song, we're going to talk about donuts in the classroom or whatever it is. And then, so that'll be really quick. And then I also started doing the weather, which freaked me out. That was the scariest thing I've done so far.
These are the things I want to know. Like the radio, like I can picture what you're like chit-chatting because we do that.
Yes.
But I want to
So the weather, I mean, it's pretty formulaic. I mean, I have a thing in front of me when I get there that says what the weather is for the day and then like what it's going to be tonight. And so really all you have to do, you kind of read it, but you don't want to sound like you're reading it. So I'll be like, you know, I'll be like, good morning, it's 7:30, it's, you know, 65 degrees right now. Looks like it's going to be sunny and warm later with a low of or high of 82 and a, I don't know, low of 60 tonight. Right now it's 55 degrees. And then we go right into the segment. So this morning though, I did it and it's a lot of pressure because there's like a lot of things to get correct. And also numbers. I'm leading the segment. There's no one else. It's just dead air if I don't say anything. So, and it's live. So that really stressed me out. And today I actually forgot to write down what the current temperature was. And so I like did my whole spiel and I got to the end and I'm like, and it's, Johnny, what is it right now? And then he said it and we kind of laughed and it was fine. It's not a big deal. Cause it's just, we're supposed to be kind of silly. So, so then between segments, we often talk about what we're going to like, how we're going to kind of structure
that makes sense.
A segment coming up and what we might talk about the next day. Sometimes we'll pre-record things while we have time because I don't go in on Fridays. Okay. So we'd like to pre-record a little bit and get some stuff out of the way. So it's just, I mean, it goes really fast. It's like,
now, is there
I'm there for about 2.5 hours.
Just decided that you need to talk about, like, you know, a news story or like celebrity
we
news.
Don't
or
even,
like...
So we don't really do news. We do, well, I mean, we do trending. It's called Trending Topics. I guess it's news, but it's like fluff news. And there's places you can go. They're called prep sites that have all that stuff pulled.
Okay.
So you can pull from there if you want. I often will just like scan my Facebook feed and see what people are talking about and throw that in there. I don't do any of the entertainment news because I know nothing. I know like literally nothing about celebrities or what's going on in entertainment. So it's actually kind of funny because the guy, it's previously, like, it's always been the female host job on the show to do that. And I am useless. So, you know, he'll kind of cobble together a few stories and lead that one. And then I just kind of say sarcastic things like, I can't believe I've been on the show for 2 weeks and we're still talking about Taylor Swift every day. So stuff like that. And then, you know, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's like it kind of fits my skill sets, which it turns out is just making commentary.
And then have you guys had feedback from, like, how much do you interface with listeners? Do people call in? Do they write in? I'm just
sometimes
so curious.
They sometimes comment on Facebook, pretty often on Facebook. They called in a few times, but usually we do a trivia thing every day where you can win a pizza. People call in like crazy for that, but people don't often call in otherwise. We shared a story about like kids losing their tooth in unusual ways story. Someone called in for that. I think something easy like that. We did talk about bacon and how it's in everything. And that's another part of this job is just coming up with like stuff you notice about life to comment on. So I was like, what is it with bacon and everything? I think it's jumped the shark. Like we have to move on. What's the next bacon? And this woman called and she's like, hey, what y'all got against bacon? And we're just laughing. I was like, well, we don't really have anything against bacon. Well, we hung up and she just kept calling back over and over. And Johnny's like, oh, man, I think I've heard from this woman before. I'm pretty sure she's drunk. It was like 9:30 in the morning. He's like, she'll just keep calling. I'm not answering the phone. And she just kept calling over and over. So those are the kind of people sitting by their phone apparently wanting to talk to us. It's not very interactive. I just don't think people call places anymore.
Yeah.
As a general rule. So I'd like people to call. If you want to call, that would make me very happy.
Yeah, it's been that long since I really had a morning show that I listened to regularly enough. So I think that's part of my wanting to hear how it all works is also the 10 or 15 years since I even was a consumer of that kind of a show. Yeah. That it's all changed, you know.
We get a lot more feedback on Facebook. That's probably the biggest. Yeah. But I also am doing a Wednesday advice thing every Wednesday. You can leave a comment or you can we can maybe like put a link because actually I would love to get, I can field questions from anywhere. And if I answer your question, you can stream it from home. You don't have to be in my town.
Yeah, that's great. So we'll put a link to how our listeners can stream your show in general. And then also how they can submit questions to your advice segment. I love it. It's so cool. Well, thank you for indulging me. What was I going to talk about? Well, I was going to update on that I did go to ballet because the last time we did this segment, I think, or last time we talked about our what's going on in our personal lives, I said I was going to go take a ballet class. So I would like to report back that I did twice. I went 2 weeks in a row, and then this last week I had to miss for a very legit – I even had my clothes packed, my ballet shoes in the car, and Reed had a doctor's appointment that went long, so I had to miss. But it was really, really good, and it was really sweet. I had a lot of people on Instagram or just personal friends who were genuinely, like, really interested and complimentary of me going back to ballet, and it was just very flattering. I mean,
I think it's great.
And
it's not the kind of thing you really ever think about a 30-something mom doing. That's why it's so cool. You know, most people think, well, that's behind me now. It's over.
Yeah. And the class is perfect because it is an adult ballet class. It's all adult women. It's not particularly beginning in that all of the women in there have a knowledge of ballet that you don't have to explain what the steps mean or like to go over the combinations really slowly. But no one is in tip-top shape either. So it's kind of perfect. Like athletically, it's low key enough for most levels, but from an understanding of ballet, it's actually, I would say, an intermediate to advanced class. And the teacher's not breaking down every step. She's assuming that you know what the words mean and that you've been in a ballet class before. So it's actually perfect. They're really nice women. The teacher is really good. And ballet, like anything, has definitely people who subscribe to different styles or different theories, philosophies, and just with my background, it would be hard if I went in and it was like a super duper Russian style or something that I wasn't as big a fan of. But this style fit very well with the way I was trained and the dancing that I did like later into my 20s. So yeah, it was really good. I was so sore. I knew I would be. So
you're probably using muscles you have not used.
Oh yeah. Specifically from the waist down. It's so funny because from the waist up, it felt so easy to move like that. Like all the portobello, which is arm movements, and like all of the dancey part, like from the waist up, felt so good, like so easy in a way, like it never left. And then from the waist down, it was like things just didn't work the way they used to work. And I could barely walk for 2 or 3 days. But what was interesting is I thought with a whole week in between classes that I would be just as sore the next week. I thought, well, I'm just going to go and it's going to be the same, but I was so much less sore. So I don't really know how that works in terms of, like, it seems like my muscles had a week to rest and I would have been signing up for the same torture, but it was, I was like moderately sore for one day instead of outrageously sore for three. So it was improvement. So
good. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's very fun.
I can't wait to see a picture of you, you know, in a
leotard. I actually wore a leotard the second time.
Do you wear pink tights?
I did not wear pink tights. I think once you don't have to wear pink tights, really, you never need to again. I wore a leotard and black tights the second time. The first time I wore like a workout top and capri length leggings. So it was still like the silhouette was still slimming and, you know, like I could get away with it in a dance class, but it was not dance attire. But the other women in the class were wearing, you know, ballet clothes. A lot of them had a skirt or, you know, like it was adult version. It wasn't black and pink, but so yeah, I went through this bin that's like a freaking time capsule of stuff, of dance stuff. And I threw away a bunch of stuff that wasn't in good shape, but there were other pieces that could be, you know, washed really well and were fine. And so it's like, So 12 years from the time I had a leotard on to the next time.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was fun.
Should put a picture. You should get a picture of yourself and throw it in the show notes. When's your next class?
I need to take Friday. So
do it. Won't be this one. Well, next time maybe.
Yes, next week. I promise. Or I'll post it on our.
And you should do it like in the mirror with like, you know. I'm not trying to artistically direct you, but I'm just thinking like what would be the most quintessential ballet shot, you know?
Yes, I'll send it to you for approval first.
Okay, thanks.
Art direct me.
So. Sounds good.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode. Everything we talked about will be at themomhour.com. This was episode 68. And join us next week when we will continue birthdays. We're going to talk about when your kids get invited to all those other kids' birthday parties. And this was fun. So we will see everybody back here next week. And check us out at themomhour.com in the meantime.
See you then.